The following is a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting. It's time for To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital. A weekly visit with the healthcare professionals at Rush Memorial to introduce you to the employees and the various programs at the hospital. And now, your host, Mary Frances Friedel.
Good morning. We're here today to talk to Dr. Gregory Hyde, who is the new ear, nose, and throat specialist at Rush Memorial Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Hyde.
Good morning, Mary Frances. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. We're so glad to have you at the hospital. Since you're a recent arrival, it's great to have you on the radio show. I think a lot of people hear ENT, ear, nose, and throat, and they're not quite sure what you do. So that's one of the things that we're here today to kind of discuss. But first, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
I've been practicing for over 25 years now as an ear, nose, and throat doctor, also known as an otolaryngologist, but that's why we call it ear, nose, and throat, much easier to say.
Yes.
My mom can't even say otolaryngologist, let alone spell it. And I've chose this area because it's fascinating. There's lots of things going on from the neck up, and that's pretty much everything that we cover, with the exception of the eyes, the vision, which the ophthalmologists deal with. But I did my undergrad at Brigham Young University, where I majored in chemistry, and then went to the University of Washington Medical School. I'm originally from the Seattle, Washington area, where I graduated with honors. And then I was fortunate enough to stay there, actually, to do my ear, nose, and throat residency. After my first 2 years of general surgery training, I was given the opportunity to do a postdoctoral fellowship year in the lab, to learn how to do research and to write a paper or two. Well, I got into some very interesting research regarding hearing loss, had some amazing findings, and wrote some grants, and they all got funded. Long story short, 1 year turned into three, and I ended up actually finishing a PhD during my residency in neuroscience, studying hearing loss and the effect that things that affect the metabolism, how they can contribute to the loss of hearing, both in the inner ear as well as the brain. And so I then went back and finished my 4 years of ear, nose, and throat training and was planning on going into an academic practice. I'd written all these grants and knew that I could get funding, but because nobody had ever gotten a PhD during their residency, the academic programs didn't really know what to do with me. And so I ended up going to actually a small town in Oklahoma. With my family, we decided we'd find a good place to raise our children. We had four children at that time. And so pretty much most of my career, I've worked in smaller communities, and I really enjoy the sense of family. It's not as rushed or hurried, developing a relationship with the individuals to where I feel like I can have a better impact on their lives and on their health.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you here, and I guess that's then what brought you to Rush Memorial, maybe the small-town atmosphere?
More of the small-town atmosphere, yeah. The question I get was, well, how'd you get from Oklahoma and Texas, which is the first 25 years, to Indiana? Met a wonderful woman from Carmel, Indiana, and we fell in love and got married about a year and a half ago, and so that's what specifically brought me here to this area.
That's a great way to get someplace.
That's a great way to get here.
Yeah. What are the most common conditions that an ear, nose, and throat doctor treats?
You know, we are really the specialists of the ears, hearing, and infection, things like that. So when we're younger, we tend to have more problems with ear infections. I also see people as they get older tend to start to collect fluid behind the eardrum and whatnot. Of course, as people get older, they tend to start to lose some hearing and need some assistance in figuring out whether this hearing loss is due to a medical condition that can be intervened with, or if it's just a natural aging process or result of exposure to sound. I work with audiologists in the area to get good hearing measurements and then make recommendations for hearing aids and so forth to help people continue to function well as they age. Hearing is a wonderful thing, and if we can't hear, we become socially reclusive, which is very sad when that happens. With the nose, of course, allergies is a huge thing. Working in Oklahoma and Texas, where we have allergens, things that bloom all year round, I didn't get to go skiing in the winter like my other allergy colleagues in other areas of the country where it actually freezes during the winter. But I learned soon after getting out of my residency that I need to be a good allergist to be a good ear, nose, and throat doctor. So I've done lots of training and advanced training and even learning some advanced European techniques, which I hope to bring to the community here to help people with their allergies. We have the ability to not only treat pollen and dust and mold, animal dander types of allergies, but also food allergies, which is rare. Most general allergists don't have the training or the knowledge to be able to do that for people. I had a self-interest because after I learned about allergies, I found out a lot of my chronic medical problems were due to myself having food allergies. And so in trying to find answers for myself so that I could start eating wheat and milk and things that I was actually allergic to again, I've been able to overcome that and now can eat pretty much anything and do very well. And I've helped other people do that as well. For the throat, there's infections, things like tonsillitis. I also have done a lot of work with the voice and problems with the larynx, of course, swallowing problems as well. Those can all be addressed by an ear, nose, and throat doctor. Another area that I've done a lot of training in is in sleep apnea and what happens to our airway and breathing when we go to sleep. Sleep apnea is an increasing problem in America. It currently affects about 10% or more of the population, it's estimated, and less than 10% of those with it are actually being acknowledged or found and receiving treatment. So it's an area that I hope to improve the understanding of and probably could do a whole show just on the sleep apnea sometime in the near future. But there's lots of different ways to manage the airway, and so I've tried to help my patients, even if they've been diagnosed and are on CPAP, to understand, well, here's where the real problems are with your airway, and then have been successful in reversing that and allowing people to no longer be dependent on a breathing device to be able to sleep at night. I hope to continue to be able to do that here in this area, too.
It's great not to have to be dependent on a machine to breathe, I would imagine.
Yes.
So do you treat adults and children, or do you only treat adults?
Well, one of the things that really attracted me to this specialty is that we treat people from the moment they're born until the end of their life. There isn't really a specific age population. Some people in my specialty subspecialize in just doing pediatrics. And so there is a separate subspecialty that works at the children's hospitals and things like that. But most ear, nose, and throat doctors have training to cover all the different age groups that would need our help.
Well, that's good, because in a rural area, the more that you can do, the better, the less our patients are going to have to drive
exactly
far away to get treatment. Exactly. So that's really good. What is the difference between an ear infection that can be treated by, you know, your normal primary care provider and something that would bring a patient to your door?
Great question. So it kind of depends on where the infection is in the ear. There's basically two different compartments or areas, if you will, that tend to get infected. One of them is behind the eardrum in what we call the middle ear. And that's the type of infection that's certainly more common in childhood. That's the earache of childhood. And it's due to problems with air getting behind the eardrum. When the air isn't replenished, it's replaced by fluid, and then bacteria can swim up from the back of the nose into that space and create an active infection. Most primary care doctors are very good at identifying that and treating it where appropriate with antibiotics. And if it clears up and goes away, great. If the infection either does not respond to the antibiotics, or the fluid doesn't clear over a period of 2 to 3 months, or if there's three or more infections in a six-month period, then that's the time when they should go see an ear, nose, and throat specialist, because there's something more going on that's complicating the thing. The other infection is one that's between the eardrum and the outside world, or the ear canal. And we call that an otitis externa, meaning external. And that would be kind of like the commonplace swimmer's ear, can be one form of that. But I've seen lots of people who have fungal infections of the ear. It'll manifest with itching in the ear sometimes, which wakes them up at night, and excessive earwax production to where they're constantly having to have their ears cleaned. And so I have a lot of good ways to actually treat that and get rid of the itching and get the infection back under control so it doesn't need to be managed on a continuous basis. So any time of external ear infection has actually been shown to be benefited by getting with an ENT sooner rather than later, because we can clean out the ear canal and can then apply topical medicines, which are going to be much more effective in getting the problem remedied.
You just mentioned earlier treating hearing loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, is there anything that you do or that you recommend for patients to do to prevent hearing loss?
There are two most common causes of hearing loss are, number one, infection. And that can start early in life. And so being cognizant of that and getting into appropriate help early in life so that to minimize the number of infections and the complications that can come with infection are very important in childhood. In my own family, my next younger brother lost his hearing due to complications of a childhood infection. And so I'm very sensitive to that. He has worn hearing aids certainly all of his adult life to be able to function in society. The other most common cause is due to noise exposure. And we have lots of industries here in this county that have a lot of noise exposure, be it farming or the auto manufacturing or other types of manufacturing, to where decibel levels can get high enough. What I hope people understand is that noise is very much like heat, in that the effects are cumulative. Even a relatively low temperature heat, if you put it on the body for long enough, can cause a burn. And the same thing is true with noise. So even if it doesn't sound too loud, if you're in that for a long period of time, it can still cause permanent damage to the hearing. So using hearing aids, hearing protection, and so forth is very important. I've been a consultant with an innovative company called Bon Jovi Medical, which is trying to revolutionize the ability to protect hearing but allow people to still hear. The problem with most hearing protection devices is that once you put an earplug in the ear, your ability to communicate with your ears is dramatically reduced. And Mr. Bon Jovi, who has been a sound engineer his entire life, recognizes this problem. And so he's come up with a way to digitally process things in real time to take out the noise, but to keep the meaning of the words. And so this is going to be great for first responders and people in the military, but also those of us who like to, be able to be in noisy environments but still be able to talk and communicate and hear what people are saying to us. So some new technology that's just being released on the market this year.
I think I've been in some restaurants where I could have used something.
Exactly.
Like that.
I actually keep a noise meter on my phone, and there's a few restaurants that are known for being extra noisy, and I will have it on when the waiter comes up, and I will point out that they're currently violating OSHA standards for them, for the worker. And I'm like, you should be complaining to your boss because you're actually hurting your hearing right now being in this environment.
Oh,
if
wow.
They aren't giving
that,
you
that sounds great.
Ear protection. Yeah.
I bet you make your waiters nervous.
Well, I want them to know that I'm there for them. I'm trying to protect their health.
Absolutely.
As well as my own.
Yeah.
As well as my own.
Of
yes.
course you are. Yeah. What about when people who have sinus infections, how do they know when it's time to come and see you?
So, let me refine that question a little bit, because there's a lot of confusion about how do I know whether it's just a cold or when it's a sinus infection. Okay, and so we've actually just in the last few years come up with pretty good guidelines, kind of a consensus statement between infectious disease specialists and ear, nose, throat doctors and so forth. So a cold is usually a viral infection, and it will last usually 4 to 5 days, and then you'll see improvement, okay? Now, a virus can open the door for a bacterial infection, certainly. And so if you start to improve but then start worsening around 10, 11, 12 days, that's when you should be concerned that maybe this has gone into more of a sinus infection. If you get nasal symptoms and they just don't improve, they persist for about 2 weeks or unrelenting, and associated symptoms such as loss of sense of smell, nasal congestion, lots of discharge that can be colored or cloudy, either out the front or the back of the nose, pain in the cheeks, pain in the forehead, pain in the ears, all of those types of symptoms tend to say, yeah, this is more of a sinusitis. And that's when it's good to go in and actually get on an antibiotic to help. Now, one of the things that can keep it from going there is to get on some decongestants early on and to do a rinse with a saline flush in the nose using a neti pot or a squeeze bottle to improve the nasal hygiene, to rinse the crud out, if you will, of the nose. Then that can help keep the sinuses open so the bacteria don't back up and build up in the nose.
That sounds really interesting because I have, of course, it's interesting to me because I have sinus infections. I get them twice a year, spring and fall. Mm-hmm. So it's good to know that there's something I can do maybe to help prevent them or maybe keep them from getting worse.
Sounds like yours are related to allergies.
I think they are.
That's the other thing that being an allergist I've been able to help people with is, well, let's get your allergies under control and then the sinusitis will stop being an issue.
Yes.
Same thing can be true with bronchitis. I've had lots of patients, even pneumonia, where it was actually an allergy-related phenomenon. And once we got the allergy treated, that they quit getting hospitalized every spring.
Well, it sounds like a lot of the ear, nose, and throat conditions are kind of interrelated.
Very much. The ear, nose, and throat is the opening to all the other systems of the body, really, the respiratory, the digestive. We've got elements of pretty much all the other systems. So that's why I also like working in this area because I can impact many areas in people's health.
Well, it does sound like you have a lot of opportunities to make a difference. I think you're going to have a lot of opportunities to make a difference here in Rush County. So thank you so much for coming. And I am sure we are going to be having you back.
Thank you, Mary Frances.
You can listen to past shows of To Your Health. Log on to rushmemorial.com and click on podcasts. Join us again next week for another visit with Rush Memorial Hospital. It's To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital on Hometown Country 94.3 WIFE. The proceeding was a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting.